Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 206. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen?
Friday night.
It is Friday night.
Yes! It's a weird one.
It's a Friday night recording.
Freaky Friday, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done a Friday in a while, right?
It's been a minute.
We've done some Thursdays lately.
It has been a while. It's been too long, is that what you're suggesting?
Haven't done a Friday.
Fridays are fun.
Let's see, about another hour I'd be in bed. Other than that, though, it is fun. It's good.
I think Saturday mornings are good, too.
Yeah, we've done Saturday mornings. Now, we haven't done a Sunday in a while.
Mm. No, that's been a minute.
We have done a Sunday. Yeah, it's Friday night, so look at us.
Feeling all right?
Friday night, I'm feeling right. Yeah, I'm feeling okay. Got me a new tattoo today.
Yes.
A pirate tattoo. Not R.
Not the letter R.
R. And not the other one either.
Bunch of R's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a bloody one. It was one that bled.
Bled a lot.
Yeah. So bled through my undershirt, my favorite, what is it, thermal? Yep. Thermal shirt.
Yeah.
So I got I'm watching it right now.
All for the cause, is everything.
You never know which ones are going to bleed. But we got
is
a bleeder.
That, is that the worst
bleeder?
One? Worst bleeder?
No, there's been ones that, the Michael Myers one.
Oh, yeah.
That one was a bleeder, obviously, since I
we still have it
had
over
the
here,
impression
yeah.
of it. Yeah. So that was my Friday. Work and tattoo and now recording.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys?
Oh, what's this? Been
normal day?
Normal week.
Yeah. Grocery.
Grocery.
We went out west this week. Mm-hmm.
How many days were you there?
Four-ish.
Four.
Four.
Okay. Yeah.
Four-ish.
Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
Went to Vegas.
Vegas, baby Vegas.
Never been.
Mm-hmm.
It was our Jen and I's first time, but Rachel and Nate had been there, but it had been 15 years. Is that what you said?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
A couple changes since.
Mm-hmm.
Guys,
it's a fun town.
Had a good time, I'd imagine.
We did have a good time. Did not see any ghosts, but we saw some freaky people.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Vegas.
You see families. You see grandmas and grandpas. You see half-naked people. You just see everything. I saw Michael Myers. I showed you a picture of Michael Myers, who looked creepier with his mask tipped up.
Yeah, I didn't understand what his deal was with the mask up.
It looked like the Joker face or something underneath.
Yeah.
Or some kind of some painted face. I wonder if he lifted that and just scared people even more.
A two-in-one.
Probably.
Had Michael Myers and then, the Joker.
And then Pennywise was there.
Pennywise looked good.
Pennywise was there to do jump scares, just being completely silent and still, and then with a tip jar. And that was the first time we went by Pennywise. This was all on Fremont Street, the old strip. And so Pennywise was, the next time we went past Pennywise, he had his hat off or his face mask off, and he was just chilling out and taking a break. And then the next time we saw him, he was doing magic. And I'm like, this is wild, Pennywise. But I took pictures of it. I was like, Todd's going to love the Michael Myers and Pennywise that are here.
I like the Pennywise one. Mm-hmm. The Michael Myers would have been better if he would have had the mask down.
Yeah, he looked like he was taking a break, too. And I don't know. But I didn't see him any other place besides that concert.
I just saw him there.
They had there were three pop-up concerts, basically.
Oh, okay.
And somebody was dressed up as Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah, we saw
him. I don't
know
why. Walking around with his girlfriend.
Yeah, we did. We ran into
again,
Scooby.
Again, it's Vegas, I guess.
Ruby,
yeah.
Ruby. There was so we saw, this is another, when we were on the main strip, at the Bellagio, we were watching the fountain. That's a famous thing to watch, the fountain. Every 15 minutes at night, they do this little fountain show, basically.
Right.
With music. As we were coming around to go see that, on the corner were two showgirls, and Winnie the Pooh and Pennywise. And I was like, this is weird.
That's so a we Motley just, crew there.
I was like, is Winnie the Pooh and like Pennywise the handlers? Like, how does this work? But they all just seemed chummy. So it was very bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Showgirls, but Winnie the Pooh, and Pennywise.
It was, now that it was Vegas in all of its glory.
That's Vegas, baby.
Really would you go back?
Yes. Not every, like some people want to go multiple times a year or, you know, every year. It's like, Jen and I agree, we want to go back, but we'll take a, it'll probably take us a little bit. Maybe not 15 years, but.
I heard it's good in small increments.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You don't,
we stayed
you
the
don't
right
go
amount.
For like a week long, mm-hmm. 7-8 days. You go
we
for
had
three
like
or four at the most.
Two and a half days.
2.5 days is perfect, yeah.
That's about what I've heard.
We got into all the casinos and we didn't even gamble. Are you proud of us?
I would have done some slots. And I know how to do blackjack.
We watched some of the tables.
That's a gambling.
We watched some tables. Yeah. I told Jen, I'm like, hey, if you want to do some of the slots, we can do them. And she's like, nah, I'm good. And but we, the funny thing is you go in them. Oftentimes we went to just see them or go to the restroom. And you get in easily. You cannot get out easily. It's disorienting, a lot, overstimulation. And the restroom's always in the back. It's just funny. It was wild, though. Like, it's some of the best people watching, not just in the casinos.
Oh, man,
but
I can't imagine.
the best people watching was Fremont. I mean, yeah. For sure. That was something. And it just, so it got wild, and we're like, it's 7:30, and it's wild at night. Mm-hmm. And every hour we stayed there, because we were there, what, 3 hours at least?
Yeah, we left at like 11:30 or something.
4 hours,
like
yeah. And we were there for a while. And it just got weirder and weirder and weirder.
They call it the Fremont Experience, and it was.
It did not disappoint.
That's funny. Yeah, I've never heard of Fremont. I've heard of
it. Yeah, it's the original strip.
Yeah, it's where like the old Downtown. Flamingo was at.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is torn down now.
Yeah, the Golden Nugget.
Four Queens.
Something like
is
that.
Down there, yeah.
Nice.
And that Mob Museum. Mob Museum's down there.
Mm-hmm. The Mop?
Mob.
Mob.
Mob. Yeah.
I thought you said mop. I'm like, the Mob Museum. Is that messy?
You would love it right now.
Yeah, I hear on my Mob podcast, they talk about the Mob Museum.
It's definitely worth going back and seeing. But
yeah.
We did not see Zach Bagans' museum, the Paranormal Museum, but we did. Our Uber driver knew a little bit about it. He said it wasn't his thing. But he said, he's like, yeah, it's real dark up there, and it's a dark house with a dark history, and there's a lot of dark vehicles, and the house that, like, next to it is, like, creepy, but we're like, totally, we got to go there then. what was the other thing? I know, we drove we had several Ubers, and two of them were Teslas, and I brought up to both of the Tesla drivers. The first one, we were talking about if you like your Tesla, and he was like, oh, yeah, you know, and we were amazed at all the things that you can see on the screen and all the traffic, and the girls are saying the same thing, and I said, you know, something that we've talked about, you know, is like taking it to a graveyard, and he's like, you can, I'm not, you know, kind of thing, and I was like, I totally would, though, and then the second one, he said, we talked to him about the podcast, too, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, he seemed a little skittish about it, too, but I'm like, man, I got to. Was it the first one that said he was somewhere in kind of an area that he wasn't familiar with, and he was picking somebody up or dropping them off, and he said they're at one of the medians or something. He said he picked up somebody walking and then disappeared, and then they come back. He said there was nobody there, and he said I got freaked out. I was like, I got to get out of here.
Nice.
So he kind of confirmed that's exactly what we need. It really is a thing. Yeah.
Huh.
So
interesting.
So we had a good time.
Good. I'm glad you guys had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's someday I'll be out there. I mean, I don't care if I don't ever go out there, but I'd like to see
4-hour flight out there and 2.5-3 hour flight back. We're not sure exactly how that worked. Maybe it was the headwind or something, but I don't know.
They just press the pedal.
Exactly. Yeah, just go higher, go faster.
Cool. Well, good. Yeah. And hope the creepies are having a good week or whenever they listen to this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got my sweet tea right here. I'm all set. This is Friday night, man.
It is Friday, yes.
So I knock over my cap.
We are getting dangerously close to our 4-year.
Yeah, less than a month. Mm-hmm. Getting there. March 13th.
Yep.
Can't believe it's been that long.
My tattoo artist asked if we were still doing the podcast. I said, of course. I said we just surpassed 1 million downloads. And she's like, that's awesome. I said, yeah. I said, we don't gain anything for it, but
yes.
She goes, yeah, but that's prestige. You should be proud. I said, we are.
Mm-hmm.
We are. So
what do you get for 1 million downloads? the opportunity to say that we have
we got a
right.
Yep. And that's about it.
That's about it.
What else would you need? What else do you need?
That's the fact, Jack.
That's right. That's right. Let me skip again. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Hey, we have a sponsorship. Let's play that.
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you to Cultured Creature Beard Balm. How about that?
CCBB.
CCBB.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate their sponsorship as always.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mr. Micah Campbell.
Fantastic product.
Talk to Mr. Some. Micah. Huh?
Fantastic product. Go get it.
Yeah. Go get you some.
Go get you some.
Yeah. You heard it from Nate. He said go get you some.
Mm-hmm. He did. He doesn't say that very often. Or at least not talking about the beard balm. Go get you some listens, right?
Yeah.
Go get it.
Wow.
I break your legs.
Whoa.
Oh, it's getting violent over here.
Yeah, sometimes you have to.
Yeah, you do. Sometimes making threats works.
This is correct.
Do it now.
Do it.
Oh, man. Well, we better get out of here before somebody gets their legs broken.
Yes.
No, we do appreciate the sponsorship. So moving on is, look, Todd's dad joke of the show.
Nice.
I've got a riddle for you, though, this time. How about
riddle
this?
Riddle me this.
Riddle, yeah, riddle him this.
What always goes down but never goes up? What comes down? Always comes down, but never goes up.
Rain.
You got it.
Was it rain? Oh, I was going to say rain, too. I really was going to say rain, but
sure,
I was
sure, Sean.
I really was.
It is rain. I was like, you got to get it. But
I thought that's too simple, though. And I was like, no, it can't be just rain.
It is rain.
We were talking about Dave Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave, have you ever heard the story? They were telling it in Vegas about that. Last time you went to see Dave Matthews, it was raining, and then like it kept getting delayed, and finally they got to come on, and the first song they played was Rain.
Was Rain.
And it started raining.
Yeah. Me and Rachel looked at each other and was like, you ready to go?
Rachel was like, I hate Dave Matthews. Like,
she doesn't like Dave Matthews.
Well, she used to love him. But
because of that, like, she's
that
like,
experience.
Rain, yeah. You can shove it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So,
that's funny. Well, that is, rain. Good job, Nate.
Nate. We could edit that and make it sound like
appreciate
I knew what I was
talking
about.
No.
Dang it.
You're too late.
Too late on the draw.
Too late. And I don't have a bonus for you.
Slow on the draw. Dang.
All right. That's all right. That is Todd's dad riddle of the show.
What was the one that you did seven? And
you're welcome.
You said, how do you make seven even?
Yeah. Take off the S.
And I was like, oh, my God. That was so easy. But I did not. But did not get that.
Yeah, that's too. You got to be.
I got to start cheating or something. I'm going to Google what you're saying.
What is the.
Google will tell me the answer.
That's all right. Anyway, hey, you're up.
I am.
First announcements.
I got them over here. We come together every week this week is Friday, for the guy time, the paranormal, the fun. But the most important thing we do is continue to build a mental health community. So we want you to call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So go get you some help.
Go get you some.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do what you need to do. Got to be healthy.
Yep. Get yourself right.
Whatever it takes, right?
Exactly.
Don't get violent.
Don't rip their arms off or break their legs or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you don't have to be violent.
Don't rip their arms and legs off and beat them with the bloody ends. Don't knock them down and kick them for falling.
I was showing some people our Vegas pictures at work, and they were like, "Who's that guy?" And I was like, "Oh, that's my buddy Nate." I go, and they were like, "He's huge." And I go, "We call him Sasquatch for a reason." I said, "He's kind of like a bodyguard."
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Oh, gosh. Well, hey, thank you for the first announcements. And yes, we want our creepies to be healthy. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. Mentally, physically, and spiritually. Uh-huh. Hey, no special announcements. Sorry.
None.
But starting in March, there's going to be some special announcements.
Okay.
So how about that?
Is that when I go off the show for year four?
We've got a special announcement.
Sean is gone.
Sean is no longer part of the Mako.
He gone.
No, that's...
I didn't make the 4-year
We gap. Wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that.
But you got that gleam in your eye, though. You're thinking about it.
No, we wouldn't do that. Hey, you're up again.
I am.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, this is your pick, and this is the Cecil Hotel. And please check out our show notes for the source links we used for this topic.
Yeah. Cecil Hotel in downtown L.A. You have some foundation?
I do. The Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles is widely considered one of the most haunted hotels in the world. Of course it is, right? It has a long history marked by numerous deaths, including suicides and mysterious incidents. The hotel gained significant attention after the disappearance and death of Lisa Lamb in 2013, whose body was found in a water tank on the hotel's roof.
Yeah.
I'll stop there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've referenced that story.
We have, yeah. I think that's where
full times.
I think that's where we've talked about the Cecil before, but yeah.
We haven't done one on the Cecil.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Elisa Lamb is the that's the most popular story from the Cecil. Just to remind our creepies, I'm going to read this straight from Wikipedia. So it says on February 19th, 2013. Oh, that was just the other day. What? Wednesday?
Yeah.
The body of Canadian tourist Elisa Lamb was recovered from a large cistern atop the Stay on Main Hotel in downtown Los Angeles, where she had been a guest. She was last seen alive on January 31st and was reported missing by her parents on February 8th. Her body was discovered by a hotel maintenance worker investigating complaints of flooding and low water pressure. Interest in Lamb's disappearance increased on February 13th when the L.A. Police Department released security camera footage of her behaving erratically in a hotel elevator on the day she was last seen alive. The video went viral. While an autopsy performed on February 21st was inconclusive in determining the manner of Lamb's death, the L.A. County Coroner's Office subsequently ruled the death an accident with bipolar disorder being a significant contributing factor. So that's a crazy story because, you know, that video they show her getting on the elevator and
it's
she looks so weird. And then she peeks out, looks
like
both ways.
Like somebody's watching her.
Yeah. Like following her. Yeah. Watching her. Then she hits all the,
she hits all the buttons and the door staying open forever. And then it kind of closes and then opens up again.
And you kind of see a shadow I've seen videos where they stop it and they see a shadow.
It's
and
like somebody's there.
Yeah. And they're like, what is that? Who is that? Mm-hmm. You know, is it just, you know,
it was kind of like it was set up like a hostel. And so there was probably several people around and maybe some people that she had befriended, you know, since she was, going to college in Canada.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Or she's from Canada. Excuse me.
She's from Canada.
Yeah. Right. And she's going to, you know, the student. And, so that's where she lived for a while. And so who knows what kind of relationship she made and
yeah.
But the weirdest thing, yeah, the ad is so disturbing that it's like, yeah, something's wrong with the water pressure, and the water's tasting funny. Really nasty taste. It's disgusting.
Imagine.
Yeah, I watched the documentary. Did you watch that on Netflix?
Yes.
I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
And that was like when the people started like reporting that they were like, had to talk about that. And then it's just, that is so nasty. But yeah, they went up there and, you know, like, but the tank was sealed shut and it was a heavy lid. So it's like, right. How in the world? There's no way she got in there and sealed herself in there. And like, that's, and she was not a big thing. So it's
no,
like,
she's little.
So something doesn't add up.
Well, and they also said that to get up there, she would have set off an alarm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, rigged with an alarm system.
Something was rotten in Denmark there, yeah.
Yeah. So did she have assistance? Did she, you know, somebody help her kill herself? Or
it's just weird.
Or did she get murdered? Yeah, I know.
But she was on anti-anxiety or depression or like something like that.
Yeah, she was bipolar.
Yeah, right. So they were like,
did she take her medication? Did she not?
But still, like, how? She had to have some kind of help with whatever happened, or somebody, or she ran into somebody that took her down a horrible road. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's just terrible.
That Netflix special is really good.
Yeah,
it's creepy.
Well, it's like couldn't find her. Where'd she go? What's happening? You know, and then like, oh, found her. You know,
yep.
That is not how they wanted to find her.
No.
Hmm.
So yeah, she was only like, let's see, 20. She's 22.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she was young. So that's the first story from the Cecil Hotel. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to start it.
Yeah. Additionally, serial killers Richard Ramirez and Jack Unterweger, which is just rolled right off your tongue, stayed at the hotel during their crime sprees, which is whole stories behind both of them, right? Despite these grim associations, some residents of the hotel have reported no paranormal activity, but you know there's tons of it, right? The hotel's reputation has been the subject of documentaries, ghost tours, and investigations by paranormal teams like Ghost Adventures. Of course it has.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Ghost Adventures.
The first recorded death took place a little more than 2 years after its opening, when a man died by suicide in his room. Tragically, more deaths by suicide followed. It doesn't give me a number of how many suicides, though. Unless one of you guys have it.
How many suicides?
Mm-hmm.
I do not.
Yeah, I'm not positive either. I don't think I had a number on that. And they said, so different videos on this talked about how some of these stories are very, very legit and are documented, and other ones are like, you know, any other kind of story or telephone, you know, where things get changed or altered over time and it sounds more and more extravagant. There's urban legends that happen here, so you just never know exactly what's...
Names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Or something. Something like that. There was one story. Did you guys hear the story about somebody taking their baby and throwing it from the Cecil to that building? So U2 did their The Streets Have No Name. Their entire video was recorded there.
Hmm.
And they said on that roof of that building, or it's right next to it. I think it's a little parking garage or storage facility or something. But they said they threw the baby down there, and when they found the baby, they were like, you know, checking out and everything, and it was, my gosh, it was still alive. And that, but they said that story changes and kind of altered, and sometimes it's dead, sometimes it's alive. And so they're like, it's become pretty much urban legend this time. And like,
who's is that the yearly baby toss?
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. In the LA.
Well,
on Skid Row.
Yeah, that's a tradition. Classic tradition.
Because this is located next to Skid Row, which
I
did not know that until I watched that documentary.
It legitimately
is right there off of Skid Row, which, you know, you hear about how awful, you know, the homelessness, poverty, crime, drugs on Skid Row is just.
It's right there on the block.
It's not the band, but it's,
Nate, you're asking about suicides. I don't have the number, but it did say, you said 1931, right, was the first one?
Mine didn't have a date, but it's 2 years after it opened.
Okay, so
I can do the math.
So this says 1931, the hotel has seen its first suicide, W.K. Norton, whose body was discovered beside a pile of poison capsules. Then it says more suicides followed, so many that it isn't worth cataloging all of them. That's what it says. But in 1937, 25-year-old Grace E. Magro became the fourth person to die at the hotel when she fell from the ninth story, her body tangled in telephone wires. Police were unable to determine whether it was suicide, an accident, or something more insidious. And then they had more after that. So they had a lot of suicides in this hotel. Tragic.
It is a very looming building, in especially in that part of town is not great, obviously, like we just said, but it's spooky. I'm sure, I don't know, in its heyday, what it, you know, how it presented, but like now, and now it's empty, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, Stay on Main or whatever, that was an idea that they had where it was right. Like, so part of it was for the weary travelers or, you know, foreigners or whatever. And then they had this like fancy part of it. And it was like, they were, it's like they were still trying to keep it alive. And,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, yeah, it's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 1960s, a retiree living in one of the residential rooms was discovered dead in her room, apparently the victim of rape, physical assault, and stabbing. Mm-hmm. Her murder was never solved.
Hmm.
So I imagine that's some of the paranormal activity that you'll find there.
Yeah. Yeah, see, this hotel, man. When we were watching the Netflix, I think I asked Amy, I said, would you stay there for like a night? I don't think she said she would. Not even a night. I'm like, I think I would for one night.
I'd investigate and I would do an overnight maybe, but yeah, I don't know. Would you want to like stay?
So that's what I was asking her. Yeah. It's like, would you want to stay as a guest? And
if you guys do it, I'd do it. Just like any other place, but yeah.
I would say
do it by myself.
Put it on the list.
I would not stay by myself, I'll be honest.
Oh, gosh, no.
No way.
No.
Put this on the list. I will.
It's the living that scares me.
Tentatively, yeah. With the serial killers. So the Cecil Hotel has a notorious history, including housing two serial killers. Richard Ramirez, known as the Night Stalker, very famous, right? Stayed at the hotel in 1985. He terrorized L.A. for years. And So while committing murders in the area, Ramirez, who was only 24 years at the time, had a 14-person killing spree and was known for his brutal crimes, which included torture and rape. The other serial killer, Jack Unterweger, also resided at the Cecil Hotel in 1991. During his stay, he murdered three sex workers in L.A. He was an Austrian journalist who had previously been convicted of murder in Austria, but was released early in 1990. He went on to commit nine more murders in Europe and the United States. Both killers were able to stay under the radar due to the hotel's transient and often unsavory clientele, mm-hmm. making it a place where they could hide their criminal activities. Can you imagine, like, your neighbor being, you know, the Night Stalker?
It said Ramirez was sentenced to 19 death sentences.
No, that's not too long, right?
Though he died of cancer while incarcerated in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that... That Unterweger, he got arrested in Austria, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Austria.
And they said that the reason they let him out is he fooled them so well, made them think that mm-hmm.
He's good.
Yeah.
You know, rehabilitated. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, he wasn't.
Yeah, no.
Surprise. He wasn't.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, then he moves to L.A. and. What was it? Three or four more? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Richard Ramirez. What a psychopath he was. Good grief. I watched the Netflix on him too. That's a good one.
Oh yeah.
He was crazy. Pretty sadistic.
Oh yeah. Well, they said in 2020, Zach Bagans, him and his crew were allowed in there with cameras to investigate what makes the towering building so sinister. So there's a 2-hour special episode on that on Discovery Plus, if anybody's interested in watching that.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that there was some kind of a 24-hour camera that's on the building just to kind of keep a heads up to see what's happening with it, maybe some security too. But it looked more like to see any kind of activity, paranormal activity, and they showed the building like basically where it looked like it was from. And they said that, like, the building's closed, right? And so nobody's in there, but lights will turn on, turn off, turn mm-hmm. on, turn off. And it's like there's residents in there, and they're like, there's nobody in there, or at least nobody's supposed to be in there. So that's super creepy.
There's this guy. He's a he moved across from the hotel. He moved in there. And he's a YouTuber. Excuse me. And he knew some of the history about the Cecil. And so he was really interested in it, and he says, I started noticing online all these different places and room numbers where people had jumped off the building or committed suicide or were found dead and serial killers and all this stuff. He said, he added, I love spooky stuff, like to be honest. So I was like, this is awesome. He says, I thought it was interesting rather than scary until I started seeing things through my window, which I couldn't explain. So then I was like, okay, now I feel like I need to pray and get the salt out and the garlic. He says, over the 5 years he had had a front seat view into the hotel, he claims he's never seen a full apparition from across the street, but he has seen a lot of unexplained things that left him terrified. So, I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was there was more. He says, I have noticed shadows. I saw at one point what looked like a guy hanging like behind the curtain, and I remember being so strange. And I remember being so strange that I like was going to call the police or 911 or ambulance or whatever. But then I didn't because, you know, it's closed, so obviously they would laugh at me. Then it just kind of went away. I went to the bathroom. When I was back, it was gone. So another time there was a man that was smoking a cigar on the balcony, and I remember it was 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., and it looked like he was looking right at me. He said, I have four giant windows that face the Cecil and out of my apartment, and I was like, it's pitch dark in my building, and there's no one that's supposed to be living in the Cecil. So first of all, why is he here? So,
that's weird.
Yeah. Hmm. So he's seeing things that should not be there at all.
They have – so I was telling you guys about this. I did not know this. I was kind of thinking like what Nate was saying. There's a Millennium Biltmore Hotel, and it is where the Ghostbusters scene was shot. It says, but you think of it, like when you see that, you think of it being in New York, which is a reason for that. So the Millennium Biltmore Hotel in L.A. served as a filming location for the movie Ghostbusters. In the film, the hotel's lobby and ballroom were used to depict the Sedgwick Hotel, where the Ghostbusters encounter a ghostly entity during their first successful call to Manhattan's posh Sedgwick Hotel. The ballroom, which was never actually a ballroom, but was rather the hotel's music room, was used for the scene where the Ghostbusters track down and trap the ghost, Slimer, causing significant damage to the room's interior. The hotel's grand staircase was also used in Ghostbusters to represent the back stairwell of the Sedgwick Hotel, adding to the iconic scenes filmed at the location. So that's kind of cool that that was, and that's right there at the sea, or just up the way from the Cecil.
Yeah, to add to your throwing the baby out from the hotel, in 1944, a young woman gave birth in a hotel room and threw her newborn out the window in a panic.
Oh, gosh.
What was the panic?
Yeah. What in the heck is going on there?
It wasn't Cecil's first foray into crime history. In 1947, Elizabeth Short, also known as the Black Delilah.
Dahlia.
Okay. I knew there was something.
Okay, yeah, the Black Dahlia.
That's hard to say.
Yeah, I want to say Delilah.
It does look like
Dandelion.
Delilah.
Yeah, Delilah was allegedly spotted having a drink at the hotel days before her murder. So, yeah.
Yeah, they say that that was like potentially, they're not sure that that's true or not or, you know, whatever, yeah. but it's part of the lore. But I think that's interesting that like with all these different like stories and, you know, that you can connect like these serial killers and, you know, the Black Dahlia, and it's just, it's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know much about this hotel until the documentary, and then I'd heard about, you know, Richard Ramirez and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, it's just weird that this happened at this place that just is full of so much eclectic humanity. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of death.
But you just don't, like, can you imagine like needing to live there, or that's basically the place? At least you have a place, I guess. But you're just walking past thugs and murderers, and, you know, people that are at the end of their ropes, and I mean, yeah. It's just,
and those are the employees,
and those are exactly right. Yeah. That's
then,
quite
then there's the people that, yeah, that's yeah. You're right, that's the janitorial staff.
Oh, jeez,
that is really sad though.
Here's more detailed numbers for Richard Ramirez. He murdered no fewer than 38 people, ages 9 to 83.
Wow.
So yeah, he'd stay at the Cecil Hotel. He would dispose of evidence, including bloody clothes, in the hotel's dumpster.
Oh, he used the dumpster, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The old dumpster trick.
Throw in the dumpster.
Yeah, that dude was straight crazy.
Mm.
Yeah, he had. He had murdered a lot of people. That's for sure. He has such a bad childhood. Not saying that people that have bad childhoods that they all become serial killers, but his was really awful.
Mm-hmm.
What he was witness to see from his uncle that came back home from Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
and he showed pictures and things that a little boy shouldn't see.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and told stories about him, and then that's And then he became fascinated with graveyards.
Yeah,
and he would go. And he would leave the house, and he would go and sleep on a grave.
Hmm.
And that, yeah, it's like, ew, no, thanks. So he was kind of messed up from an early age.
It's creepy. And
needless to say.
If anybody was confused about the first story, about Eliza Lamb, you said the hotel's name was Stay on Main.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they changed the name of the Cecil Hotel in 2011. Trying to bring business back and revitalize it.
Yeah.
But same building nonetheless.
Yep. Yep, same building. Yeah, and it was, it was built back in the 30s or 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's supposed to have been this lavish hotel, and it quickly, over the decades, just became drug-infested and just... run down, you know.
Did you guys talk about the lady, Pauline Otten? So Pauline Otten was one of the suicides, unintentionally became a homicide when she jumped from the Cecil and struck a man on the street. It was an elderly man. And so she fell on him. She died, and he died instantly, too. So it's like,
can you imagine murder?
It's raining suicide. It's like, oh, my gosh, it's terrible. But, yeah, it was in 1962. She was 27. She jumped from the 9th floor after writing a note to her husband. UPI reported at the time she then accidentally struck a 65-year-old man. So it's not like old, but that's elderly. George Gayani, who was on the sidewalk in front of the hotel, both instantly died on impact.
Mm.
It's terrible.
Wow. Opened in 1924, by the way. I thought it was in the 20s.
But mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, this place, a lot of death, a lot of suicides, and
some. But one of the people that fell to their death, like, fell right on the main, like the entrance there.
Oh, like the canopy.
Yeah.
Like the whatever.
What do we call that? That's the marquee. Right,
and that's got the lid up.
Mm-hmm.
Marquee.
And they said that they couldn't find the person for a long time, and then they realized because they must have been there for a couple of days or whatever, sitting there, because that's kind of a hidden place unless you're looking out the window like, oh, there's a dead body there.
Well, I heard a boom.
Yeah, it's like it's a clap of thunder.
Yeah,
yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, Zach Bagans and Ghost Adventures. Yeah, in 2020 they went there.
And the American Horror Story was shot there, or that was used as a backdrop
in
2015.
That's right.
So, yeah.
I knew that. I did know that, but I forgot.
Yeah, that's starred Lady Gaga, right? That's
mm-hmm.
creepy, super creepy.
Yeah.
It was called the Hotel Cortez for that one, though, and it was
built
in the 1920s. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was part of the creep factor, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lisa Lamb story still really hasn't really died down. Mm-hmm. They still talk about that. And it's, 12 years ago? Or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Was it 2013?
2013, yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. They said for her to get up there, she needed a maintenance key, which she did not have one on her possession. And, when they found her, they couldn't find her cell phone. That wasn't on her or in her room. And they just said there's a lot of weird things.
Yeah, she would have set off an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
An emergency alarm, whatever they call that. And, for her to lift up the tank by herself, the whole thing, it's crazy. Yeah. I would like to check out this place, though.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It'd be intimidating, though,
I think,
just being in the area of Skid Row. But
yeah, that if you haven't checked out that documentary, you should, because it is phenomenal. But it's freaky.
It was built, you know, we said in 1924, and Hoteller, I didn't know that was a name. Hoteller William Banks poured $1 million, roughly $13 million in today's dollars, into building the hotel, with opulent marble lobby, stained glass windows, and alabaster statues. See, that's what I'm saying. It was built to be some type of fancy, beautiful place, and it quickly became the opposite. Yeah. And, of course, it was built right before the Great Depression, so that kind of had a something to do with it. It's a little downfall. Yeah. And then of course, next to Skid Row, and then quickly the suicide started in 31, and man, just one after another. Then, yeah, you got the serial killers, you've got Lisa Lamb, you've got, like the guy said, you know, people seeing shadows and hearing things, and I don't know.
Yeah, because this saying, guy named Percy Cook. Did you mention him?
No.
No. 52-year-old Los Angelino sat on the bed of his hotel room. His wife wouldn't take him back. His son was in the background watching his parents fight and plead with one another. That was earlier. Now there was just a dark thought in his brain and a gun in his hand. The night of the 22nd was the first time a visitor of the Cecil repainted the walls and sheets with brain matter and blood spray.
Oh.
But it was far from the last.
Hmm.
That was in 1927.
No, gosh.
See, and then marital discord must have been woven into the streets or sheets. Let's see. Many guests. Oh, yeah. After many self-inflicted gun wounds to the head and just as many guests racing from an upteen-story window to the pavement. Talking about your Pauline and DeWitt Ottman.
Oh, yeah.
Said that their fight had escalated so much that as soon as DeWitt walked out the door, Pauline checked out through the window. That is nuts. That's when she landed on that George fella walking down the street.
I mean, that's bad luck there.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got somebody that...
Well, it says he's just simply walking with his hands in his pockets. Mm. A normal day.
Gosh. Became
and boom.
abnormal real fast. Right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, surely she wasn't, like, target practice or anything, like, I'll just go. But I mean, that's
poor guy.
Horrible timing.
I mean, poor girl.
All
too,
the way around. Yeah, the whole thing is terrible. But he didn't do anything. But yeah, whether it's your time or it's not your time, it's your time, I guess. But oh my gosh,
I know. They do ghost tours in the Cecil.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yes, they do.
It's gonna make it easy for us to be able to see.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's like security there. So what's interesting is like it's changed hands back and forth. Simon Barron, the owner and a for-profit developer, he's had new plans with the hotel, but it fell through. He had to collaborate with the Skid Row Housing Trust, current property manager, to make the building fully dedicated to affordable housing. It's also become like a historic, location now too, right? Mm-hmm. So they said through quote unquote adaptive reuse, a process that helps repurpose a building at costs much lower than creating a new building, the Cecil Hotel was able to renovate for $75 million instead of $300 million. On December 14th, the Cecil Apartments reopened, or December 14th, 2021, excuse me. Cecil Apartments reopened, 600 unit range between 160 and 175 square feet in the common area, including bathrooms, kitchens. Which, similar to the hotel's earlier days, it offered guarded entry and case management service on site. It said 3 months after it reopened, the building was boarded up again against unwarranted visitors and discreetly serves its tenants. And so now it's back to being boarded up, and I'm not sure what the plans are in the future. I mean, you know, it's just right now it is what it is.
Just sits there.
It's a historic site and ghost hunting, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Dark energies, though. They say it can, like, some of those certain rooms and the hallways and just around those areas have so much history and so much darkness surrounding all the stuff we've been talking about. It's just creepy.
Yeah, absolutely. What else do you guys have on it? Anything?
We're going.
Oh, yeah.
We are going to avoid Skid Row, though. We will. As best we can, right?
Can Skid Row avoid us, though?
Probably not. Probably not.
That's the key. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a rough area. I feel bad for those people, but, you know, no matter what their situation is or how they ended up there, but a little scary. Yeah, it would be kind of cool to check out the hotel. It's over 100 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
101.
We need a guided tour for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do a guided ghost tour, and then we'll do a investigation.
Yeah, heck yeah.
We'll get our best investigators on it.
Just don't get overtaken by any dark presences, right?
Right. No people that
want to repaint the walls with brain matter. What did you ever say? That might be the most disturbing thing we've said in a while.
That was
yeah, I just read it. It's black and white.
That's right, yeah. You just lay it out to play it out, right?
You didn't write the story, you just read it.
That's right.
I understand.
Still disturbing.
I understand. Well, yeah, we'll go. We'll put that on the list, and we'll go, and then we'll check out the Cecil, see what it has to offer us. So, well, that was good. That was fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
Thanks. Thank you. Coming off of that, oh, man, Nate.
Hmm.
I'm thinking the middle-aged moment coming off from the dark side, the dark stuff.
Nate never knows which way to go because he's like, I'm going to be wrong.
I'm always wrong.
I'm going middle-aged moment.
Moment?
No, I'll go with dark side.
It's a moment. Oh. Nate's see? Like, see, he knows. He knows he's going to be wrong. This is, and I gave you guys a hint too when I said U2's Where the Streets Have No Name. I thought it is very appropriate to just go ahead and go into that. And it is interesting that they picked that rooftop that is right next to the Cecil. And it's been a while since I've actually sat down and watched the video, but when you watch it, it clearly has the Hotel Cecil sign right over Bono's shoulder. But yeah, this is from their 1987, Joshua Tree. So I want to run, I want to hide, I want to tear down the walls that hold me inside. I want to reach out and touch the flame where the streets have no name. I want to feel sunlight on my face. I see the dust cloud disappear without a trace. I want to take shelter from the poison rain where the streets have no name. Where the streets have no name. We're still building, then burning down love. And when I go there with you. It's all I can do. The city's a flood, and our love turns to rust. We're beaten and blown by the wind, trampled in dust. I'll show you a place high on a desert plain where the streets have no name. So, where the streets have no name. Still building, then burning down. Burning down love. And when I go there with you. It's all I can do. Our love turns to rust. We're beaten and blown by the wind. Blown by the wind. Oh, and I see love. See our love turn to rust. We're beaten and blown by the wind, blown by the wind. Oh, where I go there with you. It's all I can do. So thank you, you two.
You too?
It's a good.
You too.
Me too.
You too.
Do you guys like you too?
It's one of those bands for me. I have to be in the mood, and it's a very short attention span for it. I just never really got into their music.
Me either. There's a couple songs I like. Mm-hmm. But.
I do. Same thing. I have to be in the mood. But when I do listen to them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember why I like them. They're not my favorite, but they are. I respect them. There was I think I told you guys before, too, there was a really good documentary with David Letterman, and he travels over and does this, like, joint. I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically this joint documentary on YouTube and kind of goes into their music and how they were, like, during COVID or around COVID, they started re-envisioning their music and thinking, like, well, maybe the lyrics need to be updated for the current times. And it was really cool. It was fun because Letterman was there and he was being Letterman, but he was also somewhat serious. And I thought it was very well done. And it gave me a different perspective on U2 and kind of their history and all this stuff. So,
yeah, I don't know. In general, I'm just not a big fan. But like I said, there's a couple of songs I really like,
mm-hmm.
and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
so not
it's
you.
Just, it's just a
so not you too.
No, you're like, me
no too.
me neither. That's right. No. So, but that's not a bad song. That mm-hmm. one's not too bad.
Well, I thought, I thought, man, it's connected to Cecil. And I'm like, you can't get much more connected to the Cecil than like right there. So
no kidding.
But yeah. And
I remember that video too.
I remember mm-hmm. the video, but I didn't know.
That was in high school.
No idea. Yeah.
Oh no. I didn't know nothing about the Cecil Hotel.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's weird. It's like, it says Hotel Cecil for sure.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, thank you. Good job.
No problem.
Middle-aged moment. Shout outs. You guys have any shout outs? Nate, we'll go with you first. Do you have any shout outs this week?
No.
No shout outs. All right. Sean?
I have a friend of mine who is a listener as well. Her name is Christy Bray. And she also pointed out, and I recognize
the name.
Yes. She pointed out, she's a creepy. She was making recommendations. She's like, you guys have to see the Fox Hollow documentary. It's like a 4-part. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any more of that?
Yeah, I'm about halfway, 3/4 of the way through.
There's 4 episodes.
Yeah.
And it is, so we did an episode, and I know there was a lot of question marks and weirdness to that, you know, with the Herb Baumeister, but they did a documentary on Hulu, and it's fun. And I told her, I was like, oh, I can't wait, because she was telling me, kind of like, give me an idea, because I'm like, yeah, I know about it. And she's like, oh, yeah, but you don't know, like, the way they cover it. And it's wild. If you get a chance, you should watch it.
What'd they say? It's the second collection of bones.
So there's 10,000 bones, and they're being held at University of Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
Slowly but surely, they've given them over to some families. But
second to the World Trade Center.
Oh, wow.
And the reason that he's not a well-known serial killer, or not amongst the ones that we normally hear about, is because he was never brought in front of a judge.
Well, no, he killed himself. Yeah.
Right? And so they said that's why he never got the notoriety. But it's, they say, what, 56? At least, I don't want to give stuff away, yeah. but that's what, in the course of this, they're like, and then who knows how many, like, they have so many body parts that mm-hmm. it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
He was pretty disgusting.
It goes into detail of how they went through the woods all around the property, and it just
well,
just
and they brought up that he couldn't
everywhere.
Have done this by himself, and then that makes a whole that opens up right. a whole other can of worms. I'm like, oh man, and so I get really deep into like reopening the yeah. case.
I think when you were talking, you were saying, oh yeah, it's on Hulu, and I'm like, oh, I don't, yeah, I've heard, listened to 2 or 3 podcasts about it.
So
I think I have seen the documentary because I've seen I have seen
creepy.
A documentary. I just
it's
don't
got
like
the mannequins on it and stuff, and that's
oh
what,
yeah.
Because they should, mm-hmm. they like try to recreate kind of that feel of what it would have been like. Because they said that pool room that he used
oh,
had
yeah.
not just the mannequins, but he had it so dense with fog and stuff that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face,
oh, yeah.
which added to the creepiness of, you know, the strangulation and all the ugh, just. But anyway, so I wanted to shout out to her because I really appreciate her bringing that to our attention, and it is super creepy. And she was just like, I knew you guys would like it. She goes, I'll be on the lookout for other stuff. I'll tell you guys, you know. I'm like, oh, please do. You know, like, if you ever see anything out there. Sometimes we're like, oh, yeah, we know, and we covered this, and we did that. But, you know, it's always like, I mean, we were kind of bumfuzzled when we did the, you know, covered the first time. Mm-hmm. Like, this is weird. And, you know, and then
yeah.
there was not just the murders and all the history of it and all the question marks, but then all the paranormal activity there. Oh, and they say the guy that owns it now, his name, he even made a joke about it. He was like, name's Robert Graves, I go by Rob. He goes,
right.
I know the joke is Rob Graves,
Rob
you know,
Graves.
Like, and but he was talking about how he's like, I know that the ghost of Herb Baumeister lives here, and he goes, as long as he doesn't bother me or my family, it's like as long as we can live in peace. He's like, I'm fine with it, but he goes, he's here. I mean, like, he has no doubt. So I don't know, but it is wild though, and that's still a wild story, and so many people don't even know and that live around here. And I used to live in Fishers, and I, you know, I remember hearing like whisperings of like, oh yeah, there was a serial killer in Westfield, and I'm like, there was, you know. But
yeah
when then you start hearing about it, it's like, that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, I would have been just 19 or 20, and I don't remember mm-hmm. hearing about it back then. So creepy, pretty weird.
Yeah.
Dude,
thank you, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that your only shout out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My turn. I have no shout outs. None.
That's except your shout out to no shout outs.
That's right. I'm staying.
Not you too.
No shout out to you too. No. No, I don't have any shout outs, though. Can't think of any this week.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. But what we do have is another sponsorship ad.
Yes, we do.
Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts, for your sponsorship as well.
We love them.
We do love them.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty awesome.
Oh.
Whoa.
Wow. I wasn't expecting. I was actually
going to let. Hold on. I almost fell over.
I wasn't going to let that. I wasn't even going to instigate anything on that one.
Man. Whew. Nate, you feeling all right?
Yeah, I feel fine.
Okay.
You letting all those zeros go to your head again?
Or is this
euphoria?
Is this Nate, or is it somebody is impersonating Nate?
I got a letter. I was forced into it.
Oh, by them, yeah. It's our people, their people.
Yeah, right.
Combination. Corporate again.
Yes, we do love Corey and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
They've got an awesome store. Man, I need to get there. It's been a while.
Been a minute. Yep.
It's been a long minute. It's been 5 months. The last time I was there, it was in October. I don't know. Yeah, for you guys, it was the live show, which was September. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Which we'll be doing another live show there.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint for a special announcement next week.
Hint.
So anyway, yes, thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts, for your sponsorship. We appreciate it, and we do love you guys. Sean,
yes.
Second announcements, please.
You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. And please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
Excellent.
You think so?
No, not really.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
It was all right.
Are you sure?
Mediocre.
Did you fall asleep? Did you not listen?
There's Nate. Maybe with the mediocre comment.
Tell it how it is, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's all right. Job done.
I'll take that. I'll take it run.
All right. All right. Hey, moving on. Nate.
Yes.
Help us out.
Come find me down on Skid Row. And that's a wrap.
You know, I thought maybe you would do a Skid Row song.
I actually have. I had one pulled out.
18 in Life.
I did. That's exactly.
Life, yeah.
That's exactly. We were talking youth about that in
wild.
Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Youth Gone Wild. Gone Wild.
I had some of those songs playing in Vegas thinking about them. And I was like, nope. I'm going to go this way.
I remember
you. Oh, I love that song.
Oh, they are a good band. They really are.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sorry, they're creepies. Well, thanks, Nate. And we want to thank you, creepies, for listening to episode 206 in our discussion on the Cecil Hotel. Until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.